He's the home voiceover studio engineer to the stars in Los Angeles, California. A Virginia Tech grad whose knowledge of the latest recording gear is second to none. He's a voice actor and the home studio master, hailing from Buffalo, New York. His home studio skills and knowledge of voiceover recording is unmatched. When Dan and George talk shop, people listen, and the talk continues tonight. Welcome to East West Audio Body Shop. And now, live from his high-tech facility in Santa Monica and his penthouse studio in Buffalo, here are George Whittam and Dan Leonard.
Good evening. I'm Dan Leonard in the East.
And I'm George. Happy Easter in the West.
And together we are East West Audio Body Shop. Well, welcome. We've made it for another week somehow. This is our monthly Google Hangout. We still got a couple of seats if people want to get in here. We can let us know in the chat room. We'll try and invite you in. But we've got, there's no real topic tonight. We will take questions and commentary and discussion from our guests, and so just about anything goes.
This is viewer-driven.
This is, yes, it's like, you get to run the show tonight.
That's right. See how well that turns out.
Yeah, that'll be different.
This shows people that this, you know why we do this? We do this strictly to prove to people that we actually do prep for the show. So when we do a hangout, they see how bad it is. Then they can appreciate all the preparation we do for the real shows.
But we never rehearse it, so it always looks very unrehearsed because
unrehearsed.
Yes. Yeah, but it's been an interesting week anyway. First off, I have to show off my new mic, even though it's probably 45 years old. This
45? I think it's got to be 65 years old.
Maybe 60. Here, let me show you this thing. This is a Tannoy. This is a British built ribbon mic, which I saw on eBay, which of course was listed at about, when I was bidding on it, it was like $150. And then after I bought it, I realized it was in British pounds sterling.
Yikes. Oh. Well, that isn't so bad.
It wasn't that bad, but well worth it because you can hear how great this sounds. This is built more like the RCAs, small ribbon and heavy. This thing must weigh by 4 or 5 pounds, which is why the microphone stand is just a little unbalanced. How does it sound out there?
It sounds great.
Yeah. So this is.
it reminds me of my movie theater speakers, actually.
Yeah, really. You can hang it on your car window instead.
Yeah. It's a speaker and a microphone.
What's that?
It's a microphone and a speaker.
That's right. Didn't there used to be an intercom on those things? I can't remember. It's been so long since I've been at a drive-in.
Mm-hmm.
Anyway, we had an interesting experience this week. I know Anthony Gettig is in the other chat room on Ustream. Oh. And we're going to try and get him in here because he and I had a very interesting experience with the Canadian Customs this week. But we'll talk about that in a little while when he gets in here. But let's welcome our Hangout guests who are joining us at the moment. On the far left, we have the lovely and talented Ann Ganguza. Welcome, Ann.
Thank you. Hi, everybody. Awesome to be here.
We've been wanting to get you on the show for a while. It's like, now you're just here for a hang-up. Now we'll have to hang up for a half hour. Or 45 minutes or whatever.
Where in the heck are you?
Who, me?
Yes, you.
Where am I? I'm in Southern California. In my office. Getting ready to eat.
Just for the benefit of the other people that are watching the show that may or may not actually know you.
No. Yes. Yes.
I don't know how that's possible.
Yeah, I know.
I'm covering up my forehead tonight, too, just in case.
Ann is one heck of an awesome marketer.
I've been working all day today, actually, marketing. So have some exciting things coming up on the horizon. So feel free to check out VOPeeps.com. I pretty much put everything there. Either that or my Facebook page or my Google.
Cool. You're always working it. I'm always getting ideas from you.
Thank you. That's a big compliment.
And true. Also joining us, just to the right of Mr. Whittem, is Jason Lawson. Jason, how you doing tonight?
Doing great, everybody. Happy Easter.
Now, where are you? You're in Virginia? Or
Virginia Beach, Virginia.
Correct. Virginia Beach. Lucky son of a gun.
Yeah.
Unless there's a hurricane coming around or something like that. But it's not even hurricane season. What do you care?
Or you're getting caught in traffic sometimes. Sure.
Well, there is.
It's bad traffic here sometimes, yeah.
You know, everybody, it's like Congress heading out of Washington. They all go through Virginia Beach for Easter break and stuff.
Oh, yeah.
Yes. And to his right, we have a great friend of ours, Lee Penny. Lee, how you doing tonight?
Hey, good. Glad to be here.
Now, how long have you been watching this show for? When did you finally discover us?
I got suckered in about 14 months ago.
Early, you were an early innovator then.
Well, thank you for that. I've been called much worse.
that's one of those terms that we used when I was in college, when I was studying when I was getting my master's degree in creative studies. It's, they talk about different types of people, and there are early innovators, people who do things. You know, they I'm getting old. The vocabulary is just poured out of my ear here, and we'll be
fine. You and me, Dan, we're right here.
That's right.
I'm also
adapters. Thank you. No, it was
early adapters.
Yes,
early adopters.
Adopters. Yeah, Doug Unannouncer came up with that one.
Not and to be confused guy. With an XLR adapter.
That's right. Mm. I was an early adapter with one of those adapters. Anyway, so what do we want to talk about tonight? Don't all talk at once. Or I'll talk at once. I don't care.
All right. Crickets. So how many of you guys have used MicPort Pros?
Yeah, I got a MicPort Pro.
How many MicPort Pros have you gone through or worn out?
Yeah, just the one so far.
All right. That means you're not using it that much yet.
Okay.
Add mine a week.
And so how many does that make for you, George?
Well, I'm not using one, but I do have clients of mine that probably kill one about once a year.
Wow.
Mine will be up for sale on eBay come Monday. I'll be getting the Scarlett 2i2.
Yeah. Oh, what a magnificent piece of equipment that is. Mine's right down there.
And next to mine's in the booth.
You know what the thing about these MicPort Pros is, they're a great design, and they're really an innovative product. And there's not much that rivals them for their size and sound quality, but they have a few weak spots, and basically all of them are right here at the bottom. And it's mainly this jack right here. And they just wear out. They just get looser and looser, and the signal gets flakier and flakier. And I've been telling people that are really using them for mission critical, like bridging, source connect, ISDN, and all that, to buy a two. They're
sounds
so
like
inexpensive.
I once dated.
Yeah, I mean, these are so cheap in relative terms for people out there doing promo for networks. I'm like, just go buy two, okay?
Yeah. I mean, I liked mine. It works pretty well. It's just that, I never used it full time because I was always using, Firebox, and then I went to the one. It was something you use when you're on the road. That's what it was built for. You know, it's something you use temporarily. So,
yeah, I mean, apparently every time someone was like Skyping in on the Oprah show, they would send one of these out with a microphone to the guest. So they were getting heavy, used through them. And they really have, they're quite amazing. But for a full-time home studio, not ideal. I mean, they're always falling on the floor. They don't weigh anything. So unless you tape them down or Velcro them to something, they're going to fall on the floor.
Yeah, and they're easily confused as an asthma inhaler by some people, too.
Right. Yeah.
George, what microphone would they send, Just curious.
I have no clue. That I never heard, actually. I bet it was like a Bob Heil PR-40 or something like that. I don't know. just guessing. I have no idea. Some kind of a, probably a dynamic mic.
Yeah,
I would think so, because they would want it to be pretty bomb-proof, handle a lot of transporting and idiot-proof, and they don't want to have people wondering, forgetting to put this little button on the bottom to turn the power on, you know. And they don't want a mic that's going to pick up the refrigerator in the other room so easily. And so,
would they send a camera too? Like a web for this, for the connection? I'm wondering, just to have decent quality for when they air it.
They must probably send them a camera too. I'm sure they sent them a whole package.
Yeah.
Camera, lighting, everything.
Yeah.
Have you guys ever seen any of those Obama hangouts?
Mm-hmm. You think you'd find me at one of those things?
Right, not likely.
No, highly unlikely.
He does hangouts and on Google, and of course they look broadcast quality. Like when you watch one, it's like watching an HD TV show, you know. But it's Google Hangouts, and all the people that are in the hangout clearly are given, you know, are like prepped and given coaching on how to light and all this stuff, you know, so that they come off as good as possible. It's rarely a guy laying in his lounge chair with a laptop on his belly, you know. Although that would be a lot more authentic.
Really? Yes. And joining us now from 1, 2, 3, 4, I got a gal in Kalamazoo, Anthony Gantig.
Hey, Anthony.
Get your mic on there.
It's Orc.
There we go.
All right.
Yeah. Now Anthony and I had a real adventure this week. On opposite ends of the southern Ontario borders. Now, how many of you, well, in the chat room and on the show, have ever crossed the Canadian border?
That would be me.
All right. When you cross the Canadian border, never give these guys any crap at all. Nothing. The thing is, you know, like, I've been crossing the border for 56 years, you know, since before I could walk, going up to Toronto or going into Niagara Falls or something like that here. Never once have I ever been stopped, pulled aside, you know, despite what I might have had in the car many years ago. But this one time, now Anthony and I are going up to the VO and TO mixer up in Toronto the other day on Wednesday. He's coming from Michigan, and I'm coming from New York. And, you know, about within the span of about 10 minutes, I'm in Lewiston, New York, which is near Niagara Falls, and he's coming in north of Detroit in Sarnia, Ontario, and crossing the border there. And they take a look at me. You know, the guy in the booth there, and he's like, "Where are you born?" Buffalo.
Yeah.
Where are you going? Social engagement in Toronto? Yeah, what kind of social engagement? You know, and just by throwing me these curveballs, they never throw me curveballs. I must have the most honest-looking face around. You know, so I should have said, I'm just going to do a TV show in St. Catharines or something, and you know, they wouldn't have said anything. But this guy's like, yeah, what do you do? I'm a voice actor? I think maybe it was the sheepish way I looked at it. And he's like, all right. Picks out his yellow pad.
Oh, no. No, don't do
it. Go over there.
Oh. Yep.
Over to the immigration office over there.
Yep.
Tony, what happened to you?
Well, can you hear?
You're cutting in and out.
Yeah.
Right here. Right there. Just a little. Cut. Still.
Still.
Yeah.
Are you using an inbox? Tony, are you using a FireWire audio interface? Are you using an M-Box? That's weird.
Using track.
The only other guest that we've had this problem with was Joe Van Riper the other week.
Yeah.
Where the audio just cut in and out, in and out, in and out. Mm-hmm. No, for no apparent reason.
The helicopter guy.
Oh, yeah. How about this?
There you go.
That's my Logitech camera.
Yeah.
Mo better.
Good. Well, so what happened?
10 minutes after it happened to me.
Yeah. So Pat Sweeney can officially say he's had the Canadian government call him about one of his friends crossing the border now. That's the bottom line. Well, I had printed an itinerary for my wife so she knew where I was at, what I was doing, where I was going. And I had Pat's address and phone number and everything on there. Because I stayed at, what did you call it, Susan? Shea Sweeney, I believe. Yeah, so I stayed overnight with Pat. And I had his address, phone number, and everything. They actually called him. They said, sit down. And, I was a good 45 minutes. Again, the same thing Dan had. Where are you going? What are you doing? Who are you meeting? Do you have any mace or pepper spray in your car?
They didn't ask me that one.
Really?
No. Really? I didn't look like that.
Give me firearms. Yeah, because, somebody online said that you and I look like we belong in a rogues gallery. So, okay, that's fine. But, it was a hoot. And a hoot, as it were. So, we had a good time, though. It was a real hoot. But, man, Pat's got a great group up there. I mean, just incredible group. I mean, Dan, what was there, like 50 people?
It was close to about 50, yeah. And it's, not a big restaurant that we were in. It was pretty tight in there.
Yeah.
Especially with the pool table in the middle of the room. But other than that.
Yeah. But it was a good time. I mean, just some wonderful people. There were union and non-union people. People at various stages of their home studio, a lot of interest in Studio Suit, which was kind of cool to see.
Yay.
Yeah. And
Jim Van Horn.
And Jim Van Horn. Wow. What a talent. What a great guy. I mean, I loved hearing his story.
Really?
Yeah, for real. It was a good time. And
we're
of course,
got to hang out with the show, George.
Yeah. He would be a good one. Yeah.
He would be a good guest.
Anthony, I'm sorry. Where are you calling from? So you must be to Toronto.
In Kalamazoo, Michigan.
Oh, okay. How long of a trip was that for you?
It's about.
Oh, because you
crossed. About 6 hours.
Okay.
Yeah, 6 hours. So I made a little tour circuit. I went over to the VO and TO, had a lot of fun with that, and then made my way down to Buffalo the next day and hung out with Mr. Leonard, who had come up the night before, and who very graciously let me record some pickups in the studio. And I'm telling you, the Studio Suit works, folks. I'm just telling you. I don't personally own it, but I'm telling you, I got to record in it, and it's freaking dead. It's you really need to give it some
That's
attention.
Awesome.
If you're building a home studio.
If I can just, Dan, the peeps have been asking me about, the Studio Suit and what I think. I don't know if you're. I'd like to get one. Maybe we can set one up out here in the West Coast.
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah. I'd love to do that.
Yeah, we need to like throw it in front of George so we can all see it and then not see George.
let's definitely do something.
I'm going to ship a bunch out to the West Coast and we're going to have a display at FAF Camp too, so if anybody's going to FAF Camp, you can see it there too. And you can always come over to my house. It's not a long drive, from just about anywhere.
I'm from Rochester originally, so,
You're from Rochester? Oh. You're from Rochester?
Yes. That's why I've traveled the Canadian border many, many times. I grew up in Rochester, so, yeah.
Oh, we're
that's
going up to Rochester on Tuesday.
Yep. Oh, really? Whereabouts? For
some science museum. The kids are on break, so the wife's like, why don't we go somewhere? Well, let's go to Toronto. Well, I was just in Toronto. I don't want to cross the border again.
Yeah, exactly. Now you're afraid.
I don't want to be interrogated again.
I'm going to be much more careful when I go up there for Voice World. But no, we're not going to the Strong Museum. We're going to a planetarium and an art museum and stuff.
Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm.
Something my kids just love.
Educational. Well, I have my family's up right around the corner from RIT. So.
Ah, okay.
So, I get up there once in a while. I try to avoid the snow, though.
Yeah, well, they don't get as much in Rochester as they
don't.
Here.
Oh God, no! I know. Yes. I know.
Although my older son is about to go to Oswego next year.
Oh, so, nice.
Yeah, they get snow.
Yes, they do.
Anyway, no, we'll get some samples of Studio Suit out there for everybody so you can see how it works.
Awesome.
It, uh, You know, I'm actually pretty impressed with how, you know, we did a lot of research and development to really see how to use it. And we found out that it can be used in a lot of different situations. And I actually was at the music store. I've got a setup at a music store where I'm taking ukulele lessons. They have a drum room in there, and I put a big sheet up in there. And apparently some drummer was in there practicing with his instructor, and he asked the owner, "What's this stuff? We need to insulate a computer room in our business." So it's like a whole new market for this stuff. And I'm not telling anybody what it is. It's a duvet I stole from.
It's a duvet
from the Omni in Charlotte. You know,
right?
I'd like the floral pattern, please.
Okay, well, that's the thing. You can put any fabric you want on there.
The thing is, duvets will not work well because when you hang a duvet up, they settle, and then all the stuffing falls to the bottom.
Yes,
that's true.
So they look like it would work, but you hang it up, and after a while, you know, it all just settles to the bottom.
Well, you know, the added bonus of Studio Suit is it comes with, every now and then, this really nice stamp that says U.S. right in the middle of it, which was awesome, the layout. Here we are in Canada.
Yeah, yeah.
We're laying out this thing on the pool table, right in the middle, U.S.
You guys are smuggling in U.S. mill surplus materials into the border to Canada.
Yeah, that's one of the little bonuses you get. And if one of the other little bonuses is the instruction sheet that comes with what this stuff originally was and how you put up a tent with this stuff, and it's little stick figures, and it's really cute. So I think I'll just make a copy of it and just send it out with every sheet I send out. Anyway.
Tony and I
had a great time up there, and we want to thank the people up in Toronto because we had 50 people up there and made some great contacts. You know, here's the three cards I got.
People in the chat room are talking about, you know, getting through TSA, because that topic always comes up when we start talking about border crossings and microphones. And yeah, everybody's learned the hard way that you never, ever say you're carrying a shotgun microphone. What's this? Oh, it's a shotgun. It's a microphone.
It's a what?
Yeah. So Bo Weaver, I think it was, said, carry the instruction sheet for it.
Yeah.
Make sure the manual is there, and you can say, this is what it is, and pull it out, and it lends some credence. Have any of you ever had to pull your equipment out and literally hook it up and show them that it actually does what it's supposed to do?
Mm-mm.
When they pull it all out, and then, you know, and then I'm like late for my flight and I have to put it back in. And they pull out all the equipment, God, it was horrible.
Yeah.
Multiple times.
I think this is where the iPad comes in really handy.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know, now that we can record on that with an Epigee mic or something like that.
Absolutely.
But they're still like, what's this thing? See, I usually turn it into a positive. You know, I remember being in West Palms at the airport there, and the guy's like, what's this? Microphone. Oh, what do you use it for? For talking into? You know, it's sort of like, you know, the same thing when you're in Canada, when you come back in the United States and they go, where are you coming from? And you go,
I swear they just must have been quit.
Over there, right?
Hey, CNADA. But the guy's looking at the mic, and he's like, you know, I wanted to get in to do this. You know, I actually do some of the narration for some of the stuff we do here at TSA, and I'm like, really? He says, yeah, I got to set up a studio, though. I'm like, you're talking to the right guy. Right through. You know, and then, of course, you got to put your belt back on and make sure your pants aren't falling off.
I'm telling you, they stop me all the time, and I think it's just because they want to look in, you know, and see what the equipment is. And literally, they, you know, I've been stopped where they take their time, like, hey, what's this? And, you know.
Yeah, she looks like such a terrorist, you know.
I know. Even, you know, the little Apogee and my iPad, I mean, it's just so cute, you know. And you don't know what that looks like going through the X-ray machine.
They want to look at your equipment. Wink.
Ooh. What you got there?
I had that same thing happen to me, Ann, in Cabo San Lucas. I was down there doing a shoot, and they of all things, I mean, I'm carrying microphones and cameras and you name it. Of all things, they pull out of my backpack. It's an extendable boom pole for a GoPro or for a small mic. And the guy goes, and he goes, "What's this?" I said,
"They gotta play with it."
Yeah.
They do.
He starts playing with it. I thought, you know, you can keep it if you want. It's $8 item. It's not going to hurt. Here, hit me with it. It's not going to hurt anybody.
Well, I'll tell you what, coming back from Canada was interesting. The guy that on the U.S. side says, he sees my license plate, which says VO, dude. He says, "What does that say, VD, dude?" Like,
oh, no.
No, oh. VO, dude. No, voiceover. He says, "You're a voiceover." Well, let me hear your voiceover voice. I said, "This is my voiceover voice. Dude, this is just my voice, you know?" Then he wonders, he says, "So what, where have I heard you?" And I tell him about a commercial I did for Hover Round. Hover Around, oh, the wheelchair, yeah. Hey, roll down your window. Roll down your window. So he says, "Hey, tell Bobby over there he needs a Hover Around." I'm like, dude, come on. Oh, really? So I played along. What are you going to tell the guy's back and eat? What are you going to do, right? So I play along, and I'm like, I roll my window down, and he says, "Hey, Bobby, hey, he's got something to tell you." I said, "He thinks you need to Hover Around."
That's a command performance.
He says, "Get out of here."
Yeah, they do have you by the short and curlies, don't they?
Yeah.
Go ahead, make a break for it.
That was nuts.
Has any of you ever flown over the White House, no fly zone by chance, by mistake?
No.
Mm-mm.
I have.
Really? And how did that go?
Oh, they had a state trooper waiting for us at the airport when I landed at Virginia Tech.
Oh, no.
Yeah. And my uncle who was flying, he's like, "Are we under arrest?" And the guy says, "No, but I recommend you all stay here. Wait for the Secret Service agent. He's driving down from, 3 hours. I recommend you wait.
Oh,
he's going to be kind of upset, missing
gosh,
the game and
wow.
all, coming down to see y'all." I'm like, "All right, yeah, we'll stick around." And he interviewed all of us. It was my uncle, myself, and my uncle's friend. And this is the best part of all. My uncle's friend was a naval pilot. So they really raked his butt over the coals.
Oh, yeah.
Who was flying?
My uncle. We were flying in his little Aztec F twin engine airplane.
Oops.
And it's like a small 6-seater plane, the kind that are really popular for flying drugs over the border.
Oh.
And
I'm surprised they didn't call Pat Sweeney.
Well, I'll tell you, I was damn glad. I mean, looking back now, I'm glad it wasn't post 9/11. They would have scrambled the jets and shot us out of the sky.
Yeah.
Scary stuff. I mean, we were at about 10, 11,000 feet. And I remember looking out the window. Actually, no, I don't remember looking out the window because I was sound asleep. I actually fell asleep. And so the guy was questioning me, the Secret Service agent was questioning me, and I said, "I was asleep, man. I really don't know what was going on." He questioned me for about 15 minutes. He took a Polaroid of me. So I'm in some file at the Secret Service now.
This is pre-9/11, I'm assuming, right?
Pre-9/11.
Yeah, I flew under the George Washington Bridge pre-9/11. I don't know how that happened.
What?
But, you know, I didn't fly, but my friend did, and I don't know how we do that. But it was really cool. I got to steer, but other than that, we didn't get met by any, you know, police or anybody. We didn't get in trouble. Thank God. But we would now.
Yeah.
For sure.
And what's really ironic is one of my good friends who was taking pilot lessons at the time at the same airport. It was at Virginia Tech. They had their own little airport. And he is now a Secret Service agent. So, you know, weird things go around, you know.
Wow.
He's actually been working with the president for the last, I don't know, 7 years. Different presidents. Going way
There's a great documentary on Netflix, by the way. I believe it's on Netflix. Netflix or Hulu. I think it's on Netflix. About the Secret Service and what it takes to be in the Secret Service. They follow President Bush around, it's actually pretty fascinating what they go through. Like when a president is going to speak somewhere, it's a good 3 week project to get security ready for him to show up there. I mean, every single step is choreographed. It's pretty good. It's pretty good.
Oh yeah,
it's worth amazing. Watching.
Somebody's asking what headset am I using?
Is that for men?
Oh, that's George's headset. That sounds so fabulous.
I'm on George's mic boom. I still don't know what that is.
I'm convinced that if you've got a good acoustically treated booth, that you could use one of these mics for doing, say, audiobooks or any kind of really long-form narration where you don't want to be locked into a position in front of a mic for hours a day. And I think the sound quality would be good enough for audiobooks.
Hmm. Well, there's a good question. When it comes to audiobooks, does the sound have to be good enough or still good?
Well,
I think you need to listen to some of the stuff on Audible, and then you tell me.
That's what I'm asking.
I think anybody who's a professional working voice actor, like all y'all, who crosses over, into audiobooks, your audio quality is already going to be a step above the majority of the book narrating people, at least the ones that have home studios.
Yeah, I would tend to agree with that too. Although, having heard a lot of people who are are breaking into audiobooks and really haven't had a lot of experience in a studio, it's like, well, my husband knows how to build electronic stuff, and they stuff like why all the compression? Why all this stuff? Mm-hmm. There seems to be a lot of people think because they have certain effects and certain things that they're supposed to use them. George and I have been trying to teach people over the last couple of years to really simplify down and not rely on the technology. And I think that's something that a lot of people keep making a mistake on, that they think it's the technology that's going to make them sound great as opposed to reading properly and improving their voice acting and stuff like that.
If you can get your room acoustics straightened out, it's amazing what you could get away with. I mean,
that's right.
The iPad mic built into the iPad sounds amazingly good. I mean, if you were to, I would never say use one, but as a case in point, you could do an A/B test between your great studio mic and an iPad. If they were both positioned properly, the optimal spot, and you use them the same way, I think you'd be amazed at how good the iPad mic sounds. Which is the size? The size of.
I actually did a drop-in once with the iPad.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, it's.
I added a T.
It is so not. It's just not. It's not the mic, folks. It's just not the mic. I mean, there are certain mics that have a certain sound, like the 416. It just has a certain sound, and it's become an established sound. It's very popular in certain genres, like promo and trailer and some commercial and stuff. And so, they like that sound, so they want you to use that mic. Or maybe the studio you work at already uses that mic, so that when you go home and do a pickup, they want you to match, so you use the same mic.
Yeah.
But other than that...
You got that, Jason.
Yeah.
What do you got there? You're just bringing in an umbilical cord or what?
Jason.
Yeah, I was running out of battery power on my MacBook Pro, and I glanced up, and I had about 2% battery left.
Oh, nice. Yeah, that was probably smart.
So, in other words, you're saying that
channel strip.
People don't need these?
Yeah, what is that, George?
Oh, it's something I pulled out of a studio. It's a Presonus VXP. It's actually discontinued. They stopped making this probably 5 years ago.
I don't know why. Behringer Becker.
Yes, where's the garbage can, Jason?
It's right over there. Okay. Exactly.
It makes a great doorstop, too.
Down some paperwork over there.
Within arm's reach, I have this. This is for sale if anybody wants it.
That looks like a... something with... with the double connectors in it.
It's a Fireface, RME Fireface 400.
Hmm.
It's considered to be one of the best quality, best sounding, you know, audio interfaces of its kind. And let's see
what else have you been pulling out of people's studios this week? Well, that's an M-Box.
M-Box Pro. That's also for sale. I'm turning into like the Sanford and Son of pro audio equipment. My clients are...
Everybody knows that funk groove.
They're too busy. They don't want to even deal with it. They don't want to put it on Craigslist, but they don't want to throw it out. But they don't want me to just... They don't want to just give it to me, because if it is worth something, they want to have something for it. You know what I mean? So,
what are you replacing that with, George?
Oh, well, that guy, the one with the with both these different interfaces, I think he had the M-Box Pro, then he got the Fireface 400, and then he was trying to do ISDN and all this stuff, and he was trying to use the audio console that comes with the RME, you know, with the software console,
because
it's got enough in and outs, and things loaded with I.O.
Right.
But to understand and use the actual mixing console on the screen with your mouse is mind-numbingly frustrating. So yeah. I still recommend people doing foam patching and ISDN to use a real good old a real mixer with faders and stuff.
Speaking
and
of ISDN.
Yeah.
Speaking of ISDN.
Yeah.
Good topic. Shall we discuss?
We should.
Ready?
We should.
Discuss.
Let's discuss.
Yeah, I guess there's a couple of states they're trying to toss it out.
I think Verizon, right, is the first? Is that what you were saying? Because, George, you posted, I think, the first thing that I had seen in regards to Verizon discontinuing.
Corvo did.
Corvo is usually the first
right,
one
right. That's right. Sorry about that.
To catch wind of stuff. He's pretty quick on the draw. I saw it in one of my feeds. I tweeted it. And May 18th is the official date from Verizon, but there's no press release or anything. There's no official press release. But someone in the VOBB said, just look at the back of your Verizon bill. It'll tell you right on the back that there's actually a statement on the back of your Verizon bill in those areas in the Northeast saying that as of May 18th, you will not be able to transfer your service, order new service, or anything. So,
wow.
I don't know which states those are. It's the Northeast, so I'm going
to
assume
that would
it's
be good to know.
Pennsylvania, New York, Connecticut, New England, you know, all of New England. But I don't know exactly.
Yeah, where it's absolutely essential. But, you know, obviously the telco companies are not getting a profit out of it. It's high maintenance. It's high investment on their part and low return. And I would... You know, of course, I've been saying for years, it's the same thing for most people. You don't buy ISDN to get work. You get work, and then, you know, you get ISDN if someone demands it of you. But if this is going to happen, this is actually a very good thing. I think this is a very good thing for everybody, because now they're going to have to rely on, you know, people with their home studios, which means all your home studios have to be really good. And they're going to have to start believing in the fact that we can put out good quality audio, and it doesn't require a good engineer on the other end to make you sound fantastic. The only thing that makes you sound fantastic is your mic, a simple chain and source connect, or, you know, and so you can talk back and forth, but you have the ability to record as clean and fresh as any of them can. And if they want to change it, if they want to do any post to it, they're welcome to do it. But, you know, over ISDN, it's, you know, it's been a dinosaur for a while, and now, you know, the comet is coming to hit us by,
now they'll just improve the technology for Source Connect, you know, and voice over IP, you know,
right along those lines.
Yeah.
Yep. There's two comments in the chat room I'll bring up. Mm-hmm. First of all, Dr. Kell saying at least Verizon's being upfront about it. AT&T is just jacking their rates. Yes, they are.
I was going to say AT&T's going down the other demand. Way, just jacking rates.
But the other question is, VoiceMaster Limited is asking, what will become the LA standard? So I'm curious to know what you think about that, guys.
Well, the only other service that has any grip, has any inroads at all into the broadcast or TV broadcast is Source Connect. They're the only ones that have made any impact and have really gotten anywhere, because they've been the talent have been using it as for bridging for to ISDN now for 5 years. So they know people are using it, and they know people are using it a lot, and they know their clients are making sessions happen over Source Connect. So clearly it's proven itself that it works. So nothing else has really gotten any kind of market share, I don't think, yet. There's SoundStreak, Connection Open, and they all have to play a lot of catch up to what Source Connect has already done to establish themselves.
Love it or hate it, when it comes to Pro Tools, right now the only one of those that has a Pro Tools plugin is Source Connect.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So, if you wanted to run in Pro Tools and be able to run within a Pro Tools session, right now the only one that can do that is Source Connect. And Connection Open, I think, is working on it.
They are.
They're gonna do it eventually. It's a small team, and I know after being pretty close with the Source Connect people for 5 or 6 years now, how unbelievably complex it is, and the customer service end of things, the software support, the debugging, the holding people's hands to walk through networking issues. Support is a tremendous overhead, huge overhead. People always say, why is it so expensive? Why is Source Connect so expensive? Because there's only like 5 or 6,000 users.
Why ISDN was so expensive too, was the overhead of tech support. And even when it was popular, it wasn't, I worked with Verizon for 17 years back when I was doing IT and installing data lines for internet connections, and our ISDN connections were specifically just for like point to point video. Even back then it wasn't that popular, and the cost for Verizon to maintain that and to install it, and like you were saying, the equipment is so the telco equipment, it's just so antiquated now. I mean, really, everything has to be starting to go through the internet protocol. And like I said, as any technology, like voice over IP, given a certain amount of time, it's got to improve, and it will improve, based on the demand, the customer demand.
Yeah, as bigger fish are using it, like banks and the U.S. government, it'll get better, believe me.
Yeah. Oh,
Canadian
yeah.
border services. I mean,
yeah, really. They obviously communicate with each other. Hey, joining us over on the far right, Steve Tardio. Welcome back.
Hello. Am I being heard or am I muted here?
No, we can't hear you.
Okay, good.
Okay, you're good.
Good to see you, Steve.
Yeah, where are you joining us from?
I'm joining you from Central New Jersey.
Yeah, Jersey.
East Coast, represent.
Representing.
We're all over the place tonight.
That's great.
So what's new with you?
I'm actually having, I'm debating on a new mic. And so I'm thinking of going the Neumann route, but obviously not the U87. I can't afford to do that. So I'm sorry?
There's no need to. What are you using now?
Well, this is a what do you call the studio projects right here? But this is for like my outside, and there's a lot of like room noise in here because I got a wood floor, and it's very echoey. So, and I've got my booth is in my closet where I've got, I think it's working pretty well. I've got the 416 shotgun mic. So I think it's working pretty well in there, but I was thinking of maybe trying a Neumann out.
Well, the one, if the same sound you'll get with the 103, for about $1,500 less. And anybody there using a 102? Nope, nobody's using a 102.
Matt Sweeney is. I saw it.
That's true.
My own toys.
Yeah. The 103 is a little brighter than the U87, so if you were to mellow it out a few dB at the top, it's pretty darn close to a U87.
Okay, and that's the 103?
Yeah.
103, okay.
Great microphone. There's a lot of voice people using it. It's not really used for vocal music at all. It's used for voice. I mean, for straight voice, and it's been a workhorse in the business for a long
time. I'm hearing
headphones.
We're losing you, man.
And we lost you a little bit there.
It's not like there aren't a whole lot of other choices out there. Oh, okay,
Dan,
sorry.
Did you start
playing? it's an industry standard kind of mic, just like Pro Tools. What? Am I here?
It's catching up again. It totally hosed for about 30 seconds. You're caught up now.
Okay, there we go.
You know, I'll just chime in here.
Go ahead.
We went to Pat and I the next day, Dan. We went to that auction of that studio that went out of business, and they had just a buttload of gear. I mean, just everything they were selling, including a pair of U87s, which went for I think over $6,000.
And somebody way overpaid for that.
Wow. Yeah, and a TLM-103 that was brand new that I think at the auction went for, like $1,000, which you can get them on eBay for what, between $500 to $700 for a 103?
I was going to say six.
Yeah, for a used one, sure.
Yep. But people at an auction are just freaking crazy, so.
Yeah. You get caught up in the moment.
I want to buy it! I want to buy it right now.
You're not getting that.
Someone wanted to know.
Thanks to Storage Wars, I think that's it.
Which is rigged.
Yeah, he lives in my backyard.
Those shows are rigged.
He tried to call them out. He's not on that show anymore.
Those shows are so.
Yeah, he
rigged.
Wasn't buying anything anyway. Gee, I guess we all watch that, don't we? Love Storage Wars.
Never seen it. Don't know.
Someone asked about the Charter Oak E700. How does that compare? It's pretty. I'd say it's like a 103. I think it's somewhat similar to 103 in sound, but you know, I think if you were to shoot them out side by side, you may pick the E700. I've had a couple people looking at those and trying them out and comparing with a 103, just because they're similar in cost.
Hello Music's been having a sale on it now lately. They're about $479 new.
For what?
The 700.
$479 for the E700?
$479. Hello Music. Check it out.
Holy smokes.
Yeah, it's cheap. It's what, an $800 microphone?
Yeah, that sounds like fall off the back of the truck cheap.
It does. Or made in China and put their name on it. You know?
Wow. Well,
but
one thing
not,
about
the real deal.
Thing about the E700. Well, thing about Charter Oak is Michael Deming will call you personally, the president, and he'll say, "Hey, do you want to try this mic?" He'll send it to you. Then he'll call you again and say, "How do you like it?" That's the kind of guy he is. He's very, very hands on. Will call you and talk to you about the mic personally.
Can't beat that service.
In between trips to every single convention in the entire globe. He's distributed.
Shout out
all
to
the
Pat Sweeney. Join us in the chat room.
For $1 million, somebody said.
All right, let me want to talk to you.
Is there even a point? Should we go to the commercial? Should we run commercials so we can say we had
a chance? If we run a commercial, we can catch up here.
All right, I'll run a commercial. I'll run two commercials back to back.
There we go.
I'll run yours and mine back to back.
Hey, that's an idea. We'll be right back, so don't go anywhere.
VO Studio Tech. Recording made simple.
Hi, I'm Peter McHugh.
This is Jim Tasker from Los Angeles, California.
Hi, this is Bill Ratner in Los Angeles.
Hi, this is Scott Rummel here in Yorba Linda, California.
Hi, my name is Rick Wasserman.
Hi, this is Tom Kane.
Hi, my name is Vanessa Marshall.
Hi, my name is Zurich.
Hi, I'm Mary McKittrick.
Randy Thomas chiming in.
Hi, this is Joe Szymanski.
Hey, this is Rick Robles.
Hi, my name is John Patrick Armstrong.
I was turned on to George by none other than Don LaFontaine, who always swore by his helmet.
George is absolutely awesome.
ISDN, Source Connect, Phone Patch, FTP, you name it, Georgia set it up.
It's really the best thing I've ever done for myself. I feel free, safe, fearless, like anything is possible in here.
Unless you like to look for opportunities to waste time, call George.
And he did all of that, long distance over the phone and the internet.
I'm very happy with George, and I cherish him.
Thanks, George. You make it easy.
Thank you.
Et voilà, this is East West Audio Body Shop with Dan Leonard in the East and George Whittam in the West. Merci. Et maintenant, back to the show.
Ah, bonjour, bonjour.
Ah, bonjour. Mais oui.
You told me you couldn't speak French.
I can speak a little.
Okay. Joining us now from the great country of Canada, C-A-N-D-A. Pat Sweeney.
Hey, how you doing, hey guys, hey?
Hey.
Hey. Drinking, hey? Hey.
One of the most fascinating things that we were talking about the VO and TO mixer we were at the other day, and the question came up. Now, you can... that Tony and I were Anthony and I were the only two Americans that were in there. Are you losing me again?
You were back here, you know.
Is it happening to me? Can you hear me now?
Yep. Yes.
Okay. So the question came up about Canadian accents, and one of the gals that was standing next to me, we don't have an accent.
Well, I put this American Canadian pronunciation sheet together just to make my friends aware that we do have an accent, and that we have to be conscious of that, because there are certain words we get caught on. About would be probably at the top of the list. And, I mean, there's no borders anymore in voiceover, as you all know. So we have to be very conscious of some of the words in our script, because it could be the difference of being chosen for a gig or not being chosen for a gig. So
amen,
we have to neutralize our Canadianisms.
As do we.
Well, that list you compiled is superb. And, boy, it'd be great if you published it on a blog somewhere.
Yeah.
Or put it in a wiki somewhere, because it's really good.
It's a helpful guide, and it's not 100% accurate. And I put it originally together for myself, but I've had a few Canadian friends in the voiceover business look at it, and we've been adding various words to it. And we've also had Doug Honoroff, a dialect accent coach in New York, take a look at it, and he's given me some input as well. But it's been a lot of fun putting it together.
Yeah, it's interesting that you say there are no borders. Well, after our incident this week, somebody came up with a great group game calling it Voiceovers Without Borders.
Yeah, that was Paul Strickward.
It was Paul, yeah.
There's no borders in our virtual world, but in our physical world, there are borders.
Yeah.
That's for sure. And you guys found out about that.
Yeah, we did.
Well, we got to be careful with, you know, guys like you. So...
Well, you guys can rest well here in Canada, Pat. Yeah.
So what was your thought when the phone rang and it said Canadian government on your cell phone?
I'm getting onto the highway. I took a look at the auction items before you guys came up, and I didn't want to waste your time. And I got this phone on my phone call, and I'm looking, Canadian government. Hey, finally they're going to call me for all that e-learning work that they need done. I'm thinking e-learning gigs coming out of my ears. So I answer the phone. Hi, Patrick Sweeney. And they go, is this Patrick Sweeney of PatsVoice.com? Yes, it is. I'm thinking, okay, they're going to ask me questions about what I charge and what would you do for a five-minute corporate video or something, or an e-learning module. And I put the phone down. I say, excuse me, I'm getting on the highway, you know, and the reception is terrible, you know, but I finally hear the last name Gettig, and I put two and two together. I'm like, oh, geez, Anthony's been stuck at the border. So I immediately went into my mode of protecting my best interest, and I just rambled off. He's not doing any work. He's not going to a studio. We're going to a social networking mixer that I organized. Boom, boom, boom. Gave them everything they needed to hear. And again, we didn't corroborate our stories. I had no clue what they had told them. And I said, I'm going to take him to an auction. And
we will next time.
I told him he's not going to buy anything. Don't worry. He says, oh, he's going to an auction, is he? He never told me that. Anyways, you know, I gave her what she needed, and she went back. And I guess the first thing she said to you is, oh, you're going to an auction, are you?
Yeah. Oh. I said, but I'm not buying nothing. My studio is complete. I am here to observe.
Now, to all my friends in America, you know, we love you. Come on up anytime, but just keep your answers short and sweet, and just say that you're visiting. You're visiting friends. That's it. I'm visiting my friend up in Toronto.
That's right. I'm going to a party.
Exactly. We love to party up here.
I'm going to drink a lot of beer, eh?
Anyways, I don't want to bore the people. Hi, everybody.
Yeah. Hi, Pat. So, anybody else got a question? Is David in here yet?
Yeah, I finally arrived.
There he is, David Kaplan.
David.
Hi, David.
Good evening, folks. It only took me 45 minutes to finally get onto my first Google Hangout, so
plenty of time left.
You guys are all going to be leaving, and I'll just be joining, and I'll be by myself. But, I've spent much time in front of a mirror talking to myself anyway, so it's fine.
It's important to practice. So what's up with you?
Microphone there too.
Oh, yeah. It's all good. Just come back from another holiday festive meal. Two more days to go of Passover, and it has been the unleavened experience of a lifetime. Looking forward to it ending. We're actually getting ready to go ahead and smoke a couple of chickens tomorrow on our new smoker that we've got to build tonight. And it's all good.
Yeah, we discovered that, after all these years of celebrating Passover, the idea is that we have these 2 days. So you cook enough food to last the other 6 days. So the missus doesn't have to cook at all, because you end up eating a lot of leftover chicken, leftover brisket,
It's been nonstop eating now, and I got to get back to the gym and get into the regular routine, because I'm having a hard time breathing, and it's going to come through in my reads if I keep going at this rate.
Yeah, I've got to get back into hot dog buns.
opening day tomorrow, New York Yankees, New York Mets, excited about that.
Can't wait.
Go Tigers.
Go Jays.
Go Bisons.
Yeah, we're looking forward. 2 in 1 day. It's gonna be a rough one. We're excited though.
There's a game tonight, isn't there? Houston and Texas.
I am not sure.
Yeah, the Major League season starts tonight.
Yeah. So it's all good. So what did I miss? I missed a lot, I'm sure.
Oh, it's been a riot so far. But we're more concerned about what you're up to. What stuff you working on these days?
Well, I've been busy. Just finished up an audiobook all about the Cold War in Prague, where I really had to learn German, Russian, and Czech. And that'll be coming out soon on, Audible.com. So that has kept me very, very busy, which is good, because the particular timing there was that it got very slow with all the other projects. And then bingo, the audiobook came along. So it just seems to come along nicely. And that, plus a bunch of e-learning stuff. And of course, Thursday was very busy with everybody wanting everything before Good Friday. And of course, before Easter, everything was, we need this yesterday. And so just been hopping through hoops. So trying to kick back a little bit today and say, okay, I just need a little bit of a breather, because I know that this will probably end up being a very busy week.
Yeah. Now, how many of you have ever noticed that Friday afternoon about 5 o'clock is the one time you have to be paying attention, because that's when they all need it?
Yep.
It's wonderful being at the bottom of the food chain, isn't it?
Especially when I find, if my whole week has been junk, I can almost put money on the fact that Friday afternoon, I'm going to make up for it. Yet if it's been a good week, it's usually pretty slow on a Friday and I can take some time off. But come on, guys, we're VO. We're 24/7. At least I know I am. This is just the way it goes.
Absolutely, yeah.
Or the other way to guarantee some work is to plan some time out of town.
Yeah. Always. Well, I tell you what, I was in Chicago back in December, and I figured it was going to be slow. It was right around Christmas time, and sure enough, I got hit with a bunch of work, but I was lucky enough to find a studio. Even though I had my Apogee mic and my iPad and my iPhone with me, it just wasn't quite good enough for my standards, because, we're crazy about our sound quality, and of course, I'm sure it was fine for the client. But that's when I discovered a great studio in Chicago called ARU. They were magnificent at working with folks from out of town. They were thrilled. Oh, you're from New York. Come on up. No problem. We'll give you a great rate. And their rate was so good, it actually ended up costing me nothing. And they gave me a hat for my little bald head, because it was cold. And they were thrilled to have me. And I was thrilled to be there. I only wanted the booth for quiet. And they said, no, take the booth. Use the equipment. Here's an engineer. And they did it all for me. So if anybody's in the Chicago area or needs a studio in Chicago, I recommend ARU highly.
Hmm. Yes, it doesn't. It's always a sad thing to be sitting in a terminal, getting ready to get on your plane, and pulling out your iPhone. I think I'll check my email. Ah, crap! Not now.
Oh, it's always.
Like, always, all the time, all the time. No matter what time of day, no matter where you are, it's always like now.
There's a video of Peter O'Connell recording an audition in the, I don't know if it's Delta or American or United, whatever, lounge at an airport. He whips out the 416, does the recording, and later on you hear that he actually booked the gig.
Yeah. Is that right? Well,
yeah, Peter travels an awful lot.
Yeah, he does.
He's on the road a good deal of the time, so he has to. This is one of these things. You know, now I'm not a big fan of recording on the road. How many of you guys record on the road on a regular basis?
And whenever I'm in Buffalo, I'm at Dan Leonard's house.
There you go.
With that studio blanket.
That's right.
Sorry, studio suit. Studio suit.
I got my own marketing department. I love you guys.
No, I mean, I was impressed with it. I swear to God.
We hung it up in Pat's room for a little bit, didn't we?
You could sleep on it. You could use it in a recording studio.
Well, you know what?
It's a great pool table cover.
I'm thinking about putting that inside my whisper room.
I tell you, there's 100 ways that you could use that.
Changing the sound of my whisper room right away by putting some studio suite in there. That's what I'm seriously considering.
Yeah. It will make sure your booth does not sound like a booth.
And it does, unless I get real close on top of that microphone. I really find that it just sounds like a whisper room. I'm thinking of maybe selling it and moving into a studio bricks. We'll see.
Well, I'll give you my two cents on the whisper room versus studio bricks. The whisper room has a full, may not be great, but they have a fully realized, properly set up ventilation system.
I was wondering when you were going to chime in again.
And yeah, I've been in the chat room. Whereas the ventilation system on the studio bricks, people are saying it's not quite keeping up when it gets pretty warm out or when it gets warm in the booth because it's just not capable of circulating enough air quickly enough. And one reason for that is the ventilation unit, the fan unit on the studio bricks is physically inside the booth with you. So you have to run it at the absolute slowest fan speed to be able to use it during recording. And then when it's at that low speed, it's not really doing anything.
Yeah, so this could be a problem.
You have to turn the speed up, down, up, down, up, down, or take 2 seconds to open the door and shut it.
I was going
to
say, you know, that's better than what I used to do when everything that I owned, and as I started out in the business, every piece of equipment was inside my whisper room, which is 4x4. And in the summer, there was no air at all, and it must have been 110 in my booth. Working just about as naked as you could possibly get. You got to have a little piece of something
you
on.
You didn't have to.
Keep
to
your, wow. Just you so you don't want to stick. You don't want to stick to the vinyl seat, right? But, you know, I'd be doing takes, and audiobooks were impossible because you're trying to open the door there and get a little ventilation in. So, you know, as my business has grown from being in the closet to being in the whisper room to now finally having a real studio, I've experienced everything in terms of temperature. So I'm sensitive to it now, and if I can make it as comfortable as possible, then I want to. So, George, thank you. That's good to know about the ventilation system because, yeah. And is there any way to kind of retrofit that so you can have the unit physically outside of the booth?
You would think so. I haven't gotten a chance to be hands-on with one yet. Matt Weewell, one of my clients in the Midwest someplace, has one. And I was like, can you rig up the ventilation on the outside? He was like, I don't think so. And I asked the guy that designed them, and he said, no, it goes on the inside. And the way the air has to go in and it has to go out, right? There has to be an inlet
right,
and an outlet.
Right, got to flow it.
So the out, the intake, because the unit's sucking the air in through the roof. And the, or is that right? Actually, I think
it should be coming in from the bottom and out through the top.
I think it's going the opposite direction on this one. Yeah, it's pulling cool air through the ventilation at the bottom through only a 3-inch hole, mind you, which is another big problem. It only has that much of a surface area to pull in the air. So the smaller the aperture, the noisier it's going to be, right? And then it's going through this sort of funny kind of, it goes through a hole in the ceiling, passes through sort of a cavity between the two ceiling pieces of material, sort of just kind of like a plenum, you know, just sort of kind of air sort of slides through, and then it exhausts through a different hole in the roof. And that's how he handles keeping noise from coming in through the ventilation. But it just can't move enough air quickly enough, I think, is the problem. Now, I'm not a big fan of the voiceover booth products, and it's not because they're not good at what they do. The products are good. They sound good. They're they do the job, but the assembly of the voiceoverbooth.com is a nightmare.
They're not good at what.
And so I like what I like about voiceoverbooth.com, though, is their Gold Series booths and better have a really good ventilation system. They have a 6-inch air inlet and outlet and a big silencing unit. The fan is inside, and it is very difficult to hear the system when it's on. And that's because it was designed correctly. You need a big, the bigger the hole that the air goes through, the slower it has to travel and the less noise you get.
Sure.
Yeah.
So, that makes a lot of sense.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Now joining us from Miami, Florida. I think we got almost all four corners of the country. The announcer, Doug Turkel.
Hello there,
Doug.
Long time no see.
How are you guys? And lady.
We're doing great.
Fabulous. Thanks for hanging out.
Oh, this is my first time on one of your hangouts.
What are you up to, aside from trying to stay cool? Welcome.
It's been kind of cool here. It was. You're going to hate me. It was in the 70s this weekend. So.
Oh, bummer, man. Oh, jeez.
I'm going to cry now.
In the 70s in my studio. That's
I'm
about
so
it.
I'm sorry, Doug.
I know how to make an entrance.
Yes.
I always say get everybody on your side right away, right?
That's right. That's right.
So any thoughts on all the garbage we've been talking about? Pick a topic.
Go for it. Lots of them. None of them want to hear, though. Somebody was asking just, I think it might have been Susan, about my booth. It's a G&K, which is a Gretsch Ken booth, very much like a whisper room, by the way. Dan can tell you more about it specifically than I can, because he was in it a couple weeks ago.
I was.
Doesn't it require no tools for assembly?
It does require absolutely no tools. And like any whisper room booth, you know, it's not a soundproofing space. It just helps keep, they were originally designed, you know, to keep for musicians to play in there and practice trumpet and stuff so that they wouldn't annoy their neighbors so much. So they're more about keeping sound in than keeping outside sounds from getting inside. But I'm in a relatively quiet space to begin with, so it's just a nice controlled environment in there.
Yeah, I noticed that when we didn't need to... Yeah, we didn't need an intercom. So, all right, try that one again.
Yeah, TalkBack is just me standing outside talking a little bit loud so that Dan can hear me on the inside.
You're pounding on the door. And
yeah, like, but it goes right, together very good. Easily. It's six pieces. It's a floor, a ceiling, and four walls, and they sort of snap into place. It's much easier if you have two people to do it with, but I've put it together by myself before. And it works really well. I'm doing a bunch of work out of it, and nobody has complained that there's any cone reflection, unlike Dan Leonard.
Yeah,
cone filtering, that was the problem.
The pieces are very large.
Yeah,
the pieces are very, very heavy and large on that booth. But it's easy to assemble once you get the pieces where they need to go.
Yeah, someone asked me the other day if it was portable, and I would have to say that no, it's not portable. It's movable. But it does not fall into the category of portable.
It's just as portable as my parents' 19-inch Panasonic television from 1978 right. That had a handle on the top.
If you have a friend with a pickup truck, it's portable.
Yeah.
Right.
But other than that,
Who doesn't? Yeah. Now you're talking about taking your studio home and stuff like that, but the missus does not want the booth to come with you.
Yes, that is true. Because it would just take up a quarter of a bedroom, and there's really no reason to do that. Dan, in fact, you saw the space a couple weeks ago. It's a closet I'm going to convert, and it's big enough with something like Studio Suite. I think it will be almost perfect. The biggest problem is I have to do a little bit of retrofitting to isolate the space a little bit better because of neighbors with leaf blowers and stuff. But
oh, yeah, that time of year is coming on here big time, still not to mention all the cleanup from Sandy.
Oh, yeah, I'm sure. I can't imagine that.
Yeah.
But yes, I can. We've had plenty of hurricanes here, so.
Yeah.
Yeah. So let's go over to Ann, because you've been quiet for too long.
Oh, my.
And we want to listen to you. What's your booth like? How are you set up?
Well, my booth was blessed by George Whittam, thankfully. Yes, it was. My father, who's pretty handy, actually built my original booth, and then I wanted to upgrade it, and so I had George over a couple of times, and actually you can kind of see, let's move it around. My door is open right now. It's very small. It's like 4x4 by 8 foot tall, and it's tiny, 15-inch door, so I can't gain any weight. Otherwise, I won't fit in there. But pretty much, George had us. Actually, George, you can. It was kind of fun. I mean, George had us suspended on hockey pucks, and
I was going to say you have the really hockey good puck floor. Yep,
I do, and I love it. I mean, it's fantastic. And George, what is the name of the fiber, the mineral wool that we have in there, which I think works excellent, really, really cost effective, and it's basically on all of my walls in there, and it's pretty dead in there. I mean, everybody that comes over for, you know, a meetup is pretty impressed with it. So I always say, yes, it's been blessed by George. So I'm quite happy.
Yeah. That does go a long way.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, the subject I was trying to broach last week was about mic proximity in these smaller booths, and you definitely have to be on mic. You can't venture too far back from the mic. As soon as you get maybe more than 8 to 10 inches away, no matter how well it's treated in these really small booths, you start to hear that room more and more. Dan, would you agree or no?
Yeah. The smaller the room, or the larger the room is?
Well, larger rooms have a different problem. Larger rooms can sound more echoey.
Right.
But smaller rooms sound more resonant and boomy and hollow sounding.
They can. They sound like a small booth.
They sound like a closet,
unless you treat it properly. And that's the problem, because the sound doesn't have to travel as far to bounce back to your microphone, so you really have to dampen a little bit better in a room like that. So,
and my understanding is that smaller booths can have big problems with bass.
We've got the answer to that.
Yeah,
I don't have a whole lot of resonance.
One long commercial or something.
I don't know, Dan. You're having probably the most trouble tonight with your audio feed. It keeps freezing and hanging, and I'm not sure what's going on.
I'm even wearing a hat to try and keep myself warmer.
No, but
I think that Frank and Mike is dying.
No, it's not the mic. It's a signal. It's some sort of either the computer itself or the network connection. It's not so. Not. I don't know what it is. The smaller the booth, the more bass trapping it needs. So then, the more bass trapping it needs, the smaller the booth. The more bass trapping you add, the smaller the booth gets.
And that's one of the things that we discovered about this material.
Now you're really, really breaking up bad, Dan. That sounds more like electrical interference.
But hold on. Let me turn something off.
Yeah, unplug some stuff and plug it back in.
Turn your toaster off.
Yeah.
Or your hair dryer.
Turn off the light. Does that help at all?
No,
it sounds like a dirty connection. It's very staticky and dirty sounding.
Does that sound any better?
Actually, it's a little better.
Finally, we have an audio problem to deal with.
Yeah, who do we call about that anyway? I mean,
everybody.
We don't have any more audio problems. Whatever happened, guys? I mean, 2 years ago we did, but you solved the world.
I think we embarrass so many people now that they don't want to send in their audio clips anymore. What do you think, Tony?
I'll shame you into good audio.
Oh, yeah, dude. My favorite bad audio of the week is when the mic is when the is turned around.
Talking to the wrong side.
You can totally hear it. Yeah. It's like, got it.
Yep, yep. I've gotten samples sent to me by, you know, voice actors who are working with certain demo producers who are supposedly really good.
Please tell us their names.
And expert users can't diagnose the problem.
Yeah, because I just opened up Wikipedia in another window here. And,
no, it's like they don't. I've gotten samples, and then I go, the mic's not. You're either using the mic built into your iMac or your MacBook or your laptop, or your mic's backwards. It's one of those two problems. Oh. And it's amazing how many people are not successful at diagnosing it. Maybe, of course, I'm taking for granted the fact that I've heard 500 or 600 home studios, but if you're a voiceover producer producing demos, I'm surprised that you wouldn't know how to troubleshoot that. That would seem really, I would think that would be obvious to someone. But
you would think.
But hey, that's okay. That's more money for me. So I'm happy to be paid to tell people to turn mics around. I'm happy to tell people to unplug or shut down their computer and turn it on again. Hey, it's all the same to me.
So. In a perfect world, you'd have no work.
That's true. Exactly.
Thanks. The backwards microphone right here. Here's the backwards microphone now turning to the front of the microphone.
Right, right.
You want to see me talking to the back end of my 416? Oh, it's ugly.
Be careful not to back it with either.
Oops.
Can you guys hear me now?
No, it's getting worse, man.
Junk.
It's not good.
Good
night, everybody!
Plug in your Apogee mic. Plug in your Apogee mic.
Yeah, I think that Tenoy has seen its better days.
Wow.
Boy, it's like he's on the space... Well, what is it? The
International Space Station?
Yeah, the International Space Station up there. Well, listen, guys, let me say this. 2 weeks ago, by the way, I spent some time in New York with Maurice Tobias at a terrific workshop. She's the best. We finally got to spend some quality time together. And it's incredible how the very following week, things got better. And holy moly. So if anybody ever gets the opportunity to do a workshop with Maurice, please do. Because I've known her for years, but I never took a workshop. Now that I have, wow, so much more to learn. Constantly a student in this business.
So you're saying you got immediate, tangible results?
Immediate, tangible results.
Get out.
We wrapped up on a Sunday night and came Monday morning. Things were completely different. And that first week back, it's now 2 weeks out since the class. And holy moly. Yeah. How is it possible, right? Everybody's you have to be skeptical. And just watching her do what she does and how she does it, and all of a sudden the fine-tuning that goes into it. And, of course, her groups are always small. There were only 12 of us. And we built a tremendous relationship with each other and became like a family over the course of a weekend. And we saw snow. We saw rain. We saw wind. We saw the St. Patrick's Day Parade on Fifth Avenue. And it was just incredible. Just, you know, amazing, amazing woman.
Yeah. You know, just a couple of days ago, after I left Dan's house, the next day I had lunch with our friend Bob Sauer. And he looked me right in the eye and said, one of the best things I could do would be to take a weekend, kind of, you know, one of her seminar weekends and do that. So... I'm wondering if I'm getting a cosmic message here that I better sign up for one in May.
You know what? You really just have to do it. I had spent time with her at ProMax a few years ago, and again, that was a great big room, big setting, a lot of people. And what's interesting is a lot of the messages then were the same as they were this past week. But, of course, when the student is ready, the teacher will appear, and things are taken differently depending on what level you're at within your business. And the timing was perfect for me to spend some time with her this time around because it was the kick in the ass that I think I needed. And, there was one girl there who, quite honestly, wasn't quite ready to be in the environment that we were in. But, nevertheless, she was there and came the middle of the second day. All of a sudden, it was like a light bulb being turned on, and she got it. And everything changed from being like, why are you here? To, hey, welcome to the party. And there's nobody else in this business, as far as I'm concerned, and I've worked with many coaches who can do what Maurice does, the way she does it, so elegantly and eloquently and professionally. It blows me away. You know, I'm still left with such a great taste in my mouth from that weekend that I can't wait to do the next workshop with her. Yeah. Truly.
I know what you're talking about. We had Maurice Tobias up here in Toronto in November, and she was amazing. Very, very impressed, and certainly helped my performance and a lot of my colleagues as well. But definitely, Anthony, you should get to a Maurice Tobias workshop if you get the chance.
Yeah, I studied with her as well, and her approach is just very different from other coaches I've worked with. It's a very psychological approach and almost has effects on you that you didn't even expect.
And that's what I found interesting about her techniques when she was on the show. Mm-hmm. She mentioned that she works from a psychological aspect. Not psychoanalyzing the students, but where they're at and trying to get that inner voice out. That's what interested me, and I'd love to take one of her classes.
Yeah, do it. Well worth every penny that you'll spend on it. That's for
absolutely.
Sure.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Does she get out to the West Coast?
She lives on the West Coast.
I think she's based
there. She lives on the West Coast. That's right. She's out in, near George, isn't she?
Somewhere I think she's in Studio City.
Yeah, she's in L.A., I believe.
Okay.
All right. Can you guys hear me now?
Very well. Yeah. Yeah.
You sound good.
Bravo. Well, I would expect that.
just in time to talk about home.
I know. We you know, it's that time of the time of the month. It's that time of the show.
Now we know what the problem was.
Yes.
Yes.
Papa My Doll.
Yeah. Wow. They still make that stuff anywhere.
Hey, you were sounding kind of moody there.
How many of you? I know. I'm talking into the wrong side of the mic here.
Very frank.
Yes. How many of you guys have purchased something from voiceoveressentials.com?
Me.
Pat?
I got to get there.
He's in Canada. All right. It's a bit of a pain when you're over the border.
You pay a lot more, that's for sure.
Yeah.
That's true.
Shipping,
you
know,
unless
customs.
You give it to me, right. Unless I'm coming up there and I buy it and I just drag it up there.
You know, and by the time I get it, the border guards have gone through it and, you know, it's a mess.
It's the same if you give it to Dan, so it's no benefit.
Anyway, that's true.
That
good point.
Call to Jason, I mean to Anthony and, yeah.
Right. Yeah.
In the reverse. They call him, hey, is he supposed to have this?
That's right. So, Steve.
Yes, he's making a delivery.
Steve, what did you get from Harlan?
I got the porta booth.
Which one?
Your thoughts.
My thoughts on the porta booth came in very handy. I think my mic is starting to freak out a little bit here.
No, we hear you.
Okay. But it's my cans. I'm going to have to buy the Harlan Hogan earphones now.
Very good.
I have to do that. But, the porta booth was pretty awesome. I was very happy because I am in a room here that with the wood floors, and sometimes it doesn't really work out if I go into the booth that I have, which is just my closet. So I needed a little more room when I was reading an audiobook, and that seemed to do the trick for me.
Yeah.
It sounded really good. They were very happy with it. So, you know, I keep it on standby now.
Yeah. Lee, what'd you get?
What didn't I get?
All right, well, give us the highlights.
Here's took advantage of that. Love them. I got the hanger for it, as well as I got a porta booth and, oh, my goodness, the elastic strap, because when I have my Shure mic on there, it's kind of heavy. And I wanted it to droop, so I grab one of those. Works great.
Great.
Really picking up things for travel because the wife and I are going to start doing a lot more travel starting this summer for our video site. We're doing a program over in France. So
excellent. Dougie, what?
I've gotten a few things. I've gotten a pop filter. I've gotten some Oralex. But to be honest, my favorite thing I've gotten from Harlan was some of his storytelling and the information that he shares during his seminars, which are completely different from Maurice's. He is an incredibly entertaining storyteller and a really great marketer, too. He's really got his head screwed on right and share some great information.
Yeah. David?
Oh, I never got anything from Harlan. But, you know, there's a story about every piece of equipment in my studio, everything we used, borrowed, practically stolen. The only thing that was ever brand new in here was my Samson A6 monitors, and since I'm the voice of the company, I didn't have to pay for those.
Nice.
Yeah, you know, it's amazing when I sit and look at everything in here, there's a story behind every piece of equipment. This computer I'm using came from Brooklyn. I met a guy in a laundromat in Brooklyn, and, you know, we needed to borrow some electricity to plug it in, make sure it worked before I bought this Mac, and it's the type of laundromat where people are actually working there. You can drop your laundry off. So, you know, I walk in with this big Russian guy, and these women are like, "What you do? What you do?" And we're plugging in on a computer, and I'm like, "Oh, it's okay. I know the owner. It's okay." I didn't know from anybody. But yeah, it's funny. I'm sure that there'll be something that I'll need to get from Harlan soon. You know what? It's a short chain. It's a small amount of equipment. It just gets the job done. I mean, holy moly! I look over at my Mackie mixer. That came to me when Channel One blew out. A friend of mine, Zach Feintz, who some of you may know, Zach. He's a pretty big guy in the VO business. This board blew out. He said, "You want it? I'm going to buy a new one." I said, "Well, let's see. It's got 11 other good inputs. Yeah, I'll take it." Again, you know, people come over and we sit and talk about it, and I point to everything. I'm like, "Well, this was because of, and that came from." But Harlan is definitely on the list of go-to guys when I do need something. That's for sure.
Anthony,
hey. I, you know, kind of like Lee, what don't I have? I have the pop stopper. I've got the ABS. The microphone, the Harlan Hogan VO1-A. And I have to thank George for that because I listened to the sound samples on Harlan's site. And honestly, my ears had a hard time telling the difference between Harlan's mic and a U87. And I know that's... can seem to be quite a delta, I mean, as far as price goes, but yeah, I had to trust my ears on that one, and it's the main mic I use, so.
Excellent. And Ganguza!
I have the Portabooth, and what's really nice about the Portabooth is I bought it for travel, and the only thing that I didn't realize, though, is as a girl, you know, for travel, I've got my purse and usually I've got something else. So that counts as a carry-on. So sometimes it's because I have the purse, I don't always take that. So I have to be traveling with somebody to make it really worth it. Otherwise, I'll just, you know, build a pillow for it or something. But the one really good thing is that I lend it out to any of my peeps that are kind of just starting out, you know, and they're looking to you know, maybe do a, you know, a test out of what's, you know, in their home. And they're trying to get things, you know, set up so that they can record. And so I've lent it out quite a few times. And everybody I've lent it out to just loves it. So it's kind of, it's really, really handy to have.
Yep.
I love it.
See, George, I figured I'd figure out a way to get a commercial in here somehow.
That was a whopper. Make sure I send Harlan the, you know, the YouTube clip with this spot in it, because he always watches it.
Just don't include my piece.
No, we'll just cut that out. Anyway, go over to voiceoveressentials.com, and you'll have all these fun stories, too. So, and you'll learn about unplugging the Coke machine in a hotel and stuff like that. How do you record? You unplug the Coke machine.
Or shut down the elevator if you have to.
Yes, and put a do not disturb sign out there. So he's got a million of these stories.
How many of you would find a pop screen specifically made for 416 a valuable asset to their kit?
Okay. Okay. Where's it from? Bring it on. I need it.
Yep.
Uh-oh.
Wait a minute. That looks familiar.
I know where it's coming from.
Where's it coming? Is it coming from Q? Something from Q.
It's going to be custom made, right, George? That's awesome.
The same guy that makes these.
And, yep, that's awesome.
Ann knows them. Ann sells VO Peeps pop screens, which are really cute and really neat.
Yep. Oh, I like that, George. Show me that again. Could you show me that again?
The EWABS pop screens.
That's really
you're not going to hear her ever say that again.
The EWABS pop screens, which you know, we're awesome. trying to get some, you know, see if it's worth making
out line.
And then, thank you.
This is a prototype, obviously. And We got them in two different sizes. There's like a, that's the smaller one, and then he made a bigger one as well, because I thought maybe the smaller one might be too small for some people. I don't know, but anyway.
Well, George, if you want to send me one to test out, I'll be more than happy. I'm running two 416s, one in the booth and one in the control room. So
okay, yeah.
Anytime.
It'd be good to get in front of a daily driver of 416s to see if it's really worth dealing with, if it's worth the effort to get them made, the cost, and all that kind of stuff.
Yeah, you know, I'm always playing around with my 416 with regard to pop screen, and I just picked up the one that you had listed there. The it's the shock mount with the pop filter from Q, whatever it is, Q whatever that you had. Yes, I picked that up for, I cannot believe how cheap it was, first of all. And I'm using the mount, but the truth is I'm not using the pop screen on there.
Yes.
I find the distance doesn't really work because I like, yeah, it's got some issues. So I'm making the mount work okay.
It's but not ideal.
That other item you're holding looks like just perfection.
This rod here was longer.
Yeah, that needs to be a longer rod. I may retrofit that myself.
This could work out really well.
You know, this mic is actually being held in by that. By that mount, but well, you can't really see it here. Well, sure you can.
Oh, yeah, I see it.
But I'm using my it's a Rode windscreen, actually, because it just fits better and stays better on the 416, but we won't tell anybody that. So, yeah, if you got something better you're testing out and want to give it a road test, I'm more than happy to do that.
Wire and pantyhose.
I love that.
George.
Is that for now or for later?
George, can I ask you, the new one, the prototype one, you're looking, is that made out of plastic, or is he going with a new material there?
Oh, this one I have here is made out of
plastic,
not...
Is it not the...
Yeah, it's not made out of fiberboard. It's made out of plastic.
Right. Okay. Yeah, that's what I thought. So this is too.
Yep. As is the EWABS one. It's plastic.
Yes.
Oh, they've all been plastic, right? Yeah. Mine's the fiberboard for the older model, and then plastic for the newer.
Right.
Yep. Okay.
I have.
But it's amazing how this stuff works, though. Peter Piper picked a peck of pickle peppers. So.
Yeah, this is the fiber. This is the original fiberboard.
But yours is in pink. Mine's a pretty pink.
It is. It's very cute.
Come on, for the girls. For good cause.
Yeah, yours is true. For good cause.
Anyway, folks, it's 10:38 here in the East, and it's what time is it in Canada, Pat?
It's 10:38 in the East.
Wait a minute, did you ask Quarter Services about that? Yeah.
I should say 10:38 in the North.
Okay,
but what is it North?
But what is it, Newfoundland?
Oh, it'd probably be about 11:38 out there.
Yep. Yeah. Actually, I think it's 11:10. Aren't they like a half an hour off in Newfoundland?
Oh, they're off a couple of minutes.
That's true. Anyway,
they're off.
Well, folks, yeah, we're getting towards the end here. This is probably one of the best Google Hangouts we've had so far, wouldn't you think, George?
Yeah, it was a good old time. It was a good old time.
Well, look at the people in the group. Absolutely.
Sure.
We've always talked about, well, do we want to do any pre-production for the Hangout? Do we want to get cut topics? Do we want to... You know, but I think the whole point of this thing is for us is that we don't have to do any prep. Mm-hmm. We don't have to give it any thought. We can just log on and start the show and just hang. And that's the whole point of the Hangout. It's not going to be as interesting to everybody that's not into our group. You know, this is more about for us. This is, the Hangouts are for us, our fans, and our, you know, you, it's for you guys that want to be, that are in our little social network that we've created. That's what the Hangouts are for. You know,
and not only that, there's still 30 people watching on Ustream.
I know.
Which is pretty impressive that they would just watch us, you know, talking, but I think that's what people like to hear.
They're probably in a coma from eating all the peeps. Wait a minute. I was eating the chocolate-covered peeps. I just had to get that in.
Oh, my gosh.
Peeps will be half off, half price tomorrow. So
that's true. Got to head
to the store and stock up.
Yeah, I'm still trying to figure the religious significance of peeps.
Well, some people eat them religiously.
That's
there it is. That's it.
Zing. And on that note, well, everybody, Anthony, David, Dougie. Who else am I missing in there? Lee, Pat, and Steve. I remembered all the names. And some naked guy behind David there.
Oh, yeah, that's that's Michael. He watches the show religiously with me. He's also a VO, voice of Yu-Gi-Oh.
Yes, we know, we know.
Good advertising.
Now we know why those 30 people are still
there. Yeah, that's right.
That's right.
Kids, he's six-pack, 14-year-old.
That's right.
Thank
that was
you.
A religious experience.
Thank
wow.
you.
Anyway, now you hit the sound effects.
Yeah.
It's interesting. We put the mustache thing on here, and then nobody really notices one on me.
We always forget.
It's kind of weird.
Yeah.
Anyway, thanks, everyone, for joining us tonight. Next week, I believe we have Joyce Castellanos with us. And the following week, I have the list here somewhere.
I always forget to load that up before we start.
I had it loaded up. But I do know for a fact, on April 21st, the long-awaited return of Dr. Joel Bernstein.
Woo-hoo!
For those of you who remember Dr. Bernstein, he will be returning, and it's going to talk about hearing loss.
What?
That's right. Roland Flick.
Wow. Roland Flick.
What did you say?
Boom. Roland Flick.
Huh?
But more importantly, will John Taylor be there the same night?
That's right.
Exactly.
We're thinking away.
Yeah.
By the way, John was in that class with me 2 weeks ago with Maurice. We had a very good time.
Oh, nice.
Yes. And I do believe that Bob Sauer will be joining us in a couple of weeks. And so we got lots of great stuff. Anybody you want to see in the show, make sure you email us at ewabshop@gmail.com. And because we do the show for you, and we want to make sure that – oh, that's cute. Why don't you put the rabbit ears on? That would be the best thing to have.
Hey, now.
Anyway. Hey, now.
I'm going to wrap up the show.
That's going to do it for us this particular week, and a pleasure having everybody.
Oh, I got
to
get those
die
effects.
Out again, Dan. But we do have Anthony Mendez on the schedule for the 14th. Stay tuned because we may do a little. We may juggle that show to another date, and the reason is because Stephanie Riggio here in Los Angeles has a very dear friend in the music industry who's terminally ill in a hospital, and they're having a concert for him, and she would like to know if I would be willing to stream the concert live so that he, and I'm sure some others, but mainly so he can watch the show.
Very Which cool. date is that?
The 14th.
The 14th. So that's 2 weeks. Okay.
So
can you guys... It's almost another hour and a half.
The show is basically one of those marathon shows where like everybody's like, oh, I want to play too. I want to play too. And the list is getting longer. It starts at 2 in the afternoon. It's probably going to go until, you know, midnight or something insane. So
that's fabulous.
We may juggle that show. I haven't talked with Catherine yet about it, but just to keep you, since you guys are here watching, we may shuffle that show.
Yeah, we'll let you know though.
Yeah, we'll keep you. We'll keep
anyway.
You
well, that's going to do it for us tonight. And thanks, everybody. Can you hear me?
Sometimes
we can hear you
a little bit.
Hello.
Yeah.
Hello.
Anyway, I'm Dan in the East,
and I'm George West.
and together we are
East
West Audio Body Shop. Everybody have a great week. Happy Easter, what's left of it, and happy April. And we'll
happy
see you next
Sayonara.
Sunday night.
Happy Easter.
Have see a nice y'all. Night.
Take care, everybody.
Bye.
Good show, guys.